give me 2 eggs. So tomorrow I got nothing.
I really believe that everybody should be born poor 1 week of their life. 1 week.
As you see, I'm in a wheelchair. I was hit by a train 10 years ago. And a year ago, I was hit by a truck.
There's a feeling in the pit of your stomach the first several nights that you're out there when you realize you actually are in a place where you got nowhere to go.
How do you like being at the shelter?
Kind of good. And I like it when we had our own bed, different. And when we get our new house, I'm going to be so happy when I have my own.
This may surprise a lot of people, but in the last school year, all of our schools here in Butte County, there's 14 different school districts, identified about 900 students, children and youth, who were in homeless situations during the course of the school year.
Welcome to the Without a Roof program, where we expose and remedy poverty, the worst form of violence. All right, we got a special show today. We actually are doing a whole show, an entire show around a wonderful piece penned by Asia Shaharga in the Enterprise Record back in May 24th, Wednesday edition of the Chico Enterprise Record. But it's all around finding harmony, formless, homeless man. His life is transformed by mental health care. And we're going to start it off with a street interview I actually physically did on the streets of Chico back in October with Sienna Soniki, who was critical to Tyler's transformation, so to speak. And you'll hear from Tyler himself. But anyway, enjoy this piece, and thanks, as always, for listening to People Power Radio. Maybe you could just share a little bit. We're using this street name Ty, but a little bit about the process and how much better he's doing having someone champion for him.
The family was really, he was in jail for about 6 months, and then the family took him in. But, you know, after the 6 years of him being homeless after high school and in and out of jail and losing him for a while, everybody's not only emotionally tapped, but, you know, scared that they're going to lose him again. And what's interesting about it is that when you meet him, you know that there is some mental illness going on, perhaps some developmental delay, definitely not functioning at a level that you or I would be, but he has no diagnosis. And so he's been navigating this entire system and world by himself with no diagnosis, no medication, just really, really, really underserved there. Another thing, we took him to get an eye exam, and it turns out he's legally blind and been walking around without glasses for years.
I'm here with Tyler, man, and we talked about his story and how he got his glasses, legally blind. Welcome to KZFR, Tyler.
Nice to meet you.
Now, why is housing so important to you, man? Give us one word to describe that, and then why.
Oh, housing is important because sometimes people don't have a right to live on the street. So, and then the housing program makes it available for people who don't have a right to live on the street.
Mm-hmm. How neat is it to have a champion? You actually, you know, Lloyd Pendleton talked a lot about champions. You've got your own champion in Sienna, Soniki. How's that been going for you? How big of a deal has that been for you, Tyler?
It's doing well for me. I just got a program going with housing, and it's available, so maybe certain circumstances end up my way, you know. Peace.
And it helps having a beautiful aunt like Tammy Donaldson.
Hey, I'm General Mash with a good friend of mine on the line, and a very good family friend of Ty Stevens, Tammy Donaldson. Welcome to KZFR, Tammy Donaldson.
Hi, Bill.
But maybe you can give us a little bit of the insights on Tyler as a young man and some of the struggles he's faced and where he's at now.
Well, I don't know a lot about his, I don't know, what do you want to call him, post-formative years.
Mm-hmm.
His mother had him. They moved. She married what we all thought was a great guy and moved to another town not too far away. And I didn't see him for a long time. He was a great little baby guy, though. He had a little couple episodes behind some choices that she made. But he was healthy. He was healthy and adorable and sweet. He had a traumatic brain injury. He got hit in the head, in the front of the head with baseball, and it required surgery.
How old was he then, like a preteen?
I'm not even sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I'm not even sure. He was not a teenager yet. There were a bunch of years that none of us saw him at all. And then I did see him, and he's always seemed a bit delayed, even when he was a baby, like a little toddler guy, you know? But who knows with little boys, you know?
There you go.
But he's bright and intelligent, outgoing and sweet, and then he became less so. There were times that I'd run into him, he wouldn't even be speaking English. He would just have this whole other persona and language. You've met that person. You've met that, I know. And there were times he'd be, you know, pretty lucid, kind of clear. And it was cute. He always wanted $4. Yeah, Tammy, yeah, $4. So I'd give him $4. I'd give him a ride somewhere, you know, kind of ask him, what are you doing? You know, what do you want to do? Do you have a plan? Come up with a plan. I'll help you out. And he just could say, yeah, I'm getting a plan. Yeah, okay. And that was about it. And I would see him less and less, and he'd be worse and worse when I'd see him. At one point, I was with Shannon Walker when we saw him. And she pulled over real fast, and he did not know who I was. He didn't even recognize me. He was just filthy. He looked scared. It was horrible. It was really, really horrible. I said, no, you need $4? And he didn't even know what I was talking about. He had no idea who I was.
How old is Tyler right now? Like 22, 23?
Tyler's 24.
24.
Tyler's 20. Yeah, he'll be 25 real soon here.
Well, happy birthday to Ty. Because I know I've had, you know, just the snippets of experience with him and then seeing him on the street. But one thing that stuck in my memory, Tammy, was taking him to the Iverson Center, which he has been to before. This is several years ago. And, you know, asking the Iverson Center to help when they do an amazing job as a day center. But they started to explain to Ty all the different things that he had to do to connect with this and that and everything else. And the lady was being so helpful. I said to her in the kindest possible way, I said, you realize he has no opportunity or ability to do everything you're telling him, right?
Right. Yeah, nothing.
Yeah, and that's really what has come to fruition for him with Lisa Currier and Crisis Care and the Chat House. Now he has someone that can help him navigate. What would you say to that?
Yeah, he absolutely could not. He absolutely could not have done it on his own. He can't do it on his own. He may never be able to do it all the way on his own, but you know, he's not starving and cold and scared and, you know, living like an animal. I don't wake up every day wondering if the police are going to kill him today or if he's going to get beat up again today. It's horrific. And if that's how horrific it was for me, imagine him. And he absolutely could not pull himself out of it. He couldn't do it. He couldn't even express to any of us how bad it was for him. And, you know, I feel like, oh, I didn't even understand for so long because my contact with him was brief and it was sporadic. And it takes way more than that to realize the depth of someone's mental illness.
Yeah, you know, I know this that really brought a lot of, I'm going to come up with the right word, really touched me. It was that situation where I had a priest from a local church, minister from a local church.
Yeah.
That had made the statement that, he'd do a lot better if he wasn't so high. And then I just remember the look on your face when I told you that in person and how you had responded that, you know, he's been like that since he was much little, and people need to stop, you know, looking at people and stereotyping them like that. How would you expand on that or your memories about that?
Well, I would run into people. Everyone's known for years. I have a nephew that's on the streets, and I love him and worry about him. You know, people like you. I mean, there are people who help me look for him and help, you know. And, you know, it's no secret that I have had this nephew on the street, terrified for him. And people would say, oh, yeah, I saw your nephew. He's all spun out all the time. People would say that to me. Like, really? He's mentally ill. And, you know, you see someone suffering, a young man suffering, and you just look at him and go, oh, he's all spun out on drugs? I don't understand that. I don't understand that thought process.
Oh, I don't either at all, because, I mean, even even if you meet Ty today, I mean, for the best way to describe it, he's outgoing, he has a really cool smile, and he's kind of goofy.
Oh, yeah.
You could easily go, oh, the kid's stoned, or oh, the kid is this, you know.
Totally.
It's crazy.
Totally.
I don't understand how as a society that we feel that that's an appropriate response to somebody.
Take one look at him and assume he's spun out on drugs or whatever, and then instantly, with that judgment, dismiss every other facet of who he is, of his being, of his character, of his needs. Just instantly dismiss it with that one judgment. Oh, he's on drugs.
Yeah, and actually he's been clean and sober pretty much since he's been in the Chat House. So that's all wonderful thing.
Yeah.
Of course he is, because he's got someone that loves him. People, a whole cadre of people that love and care for him. It's a wonderful thing.
He does, and he knows where he's going to wake up in the morning. You know, he has people to call if he does get confused, or, you know, he has people to check in with. People check in with him. You know, he's got shoes on his feet. He's working today in the garden, volunteering. We're trying to get him connected with, hopefully, like, ProTouch or something, because he does need to work. Now, he's not going to, you know, maybe jump out there and earn a living right now. He's still, you know, kind of broken. He's just starting to heal. We don't know what his, you know, level of function is ever going to be, but it's super fantastic right now. He's clear and he's happy. He has not had any issues at all with drugs or alcohol. He is. There's no way he's dual diagnosis. There's no way he has addiction issues. He's had opportunities. He doesn't care. He doesn't even think about drugs and alcohol. When your reality sucks really bad, you do anything to change it. We're human. I mean, it's our nature. We're compelled to change our reality if it's that bad. And, you know, the kid was walking around hallucinating. He had sensory hallucinations. He was seeing and smelling colors, feeling like he was upside down, feeling, you know, like, well, you've seen him.
I have, and I can say for the listeners, when you're chronic homeless, regardless of any other commingling, you know, problems or issues that you're facing, if you're out there chronic homeless for years like Tyler was, it takes months and months and additional years just to kind of fully reconnect with yourself and others. It's a very damaging situation.
Yeah.
All right, Tammy Donaldson, any closing comments?
Just thank you.
Well, thank you, Tammy.
Thank you. You've always been a champion. I know there's times my phone has rang and I answered it and you said, guess who's here?
Guess who's here?
And I just want to thank you for being the soul that you are, that someone who he felt he could check in with. And we have others that we love who check in with you. And I want to thank Lisa and Sienna and just, I'm going to cry now.
All right. Well, maybe me
anyway,
too.
I'm standing here watching him work in the garden and my heart's just smiling. And I want to thank everyone that's making it happen.
All right, I'm going to read the opening six paragraphs or so from the wonderful article that was penned by Asia Sharaga of the Enterprise Record, titled Finding Harmony, Formerly Homeless Man's Life Transformed by Mental Health Care. For 6 years, Tyler Stevenson didn't have a home. Stevens, 24, thought how he was feeling was normal. The hallucinations, difficulty communicating, forgetfulness, mood swings. He would self-medicate to cope. He would act out. He often ran into trouble with the police. He served time in jail for stealing and was charged with being under the influence of drugs/narcotics. His family members tried to help, but Stevens would often disappear, his Aunt Tammy said, and eventually his speech and text messages were indecipherable. He couldn't think straight. He wasn't acting like a normal human being or staying in contact because he couldn't, she said. His answers to questions became less and less lucid over the years. His condition continued to decline, Donaldson said. Last fall, he was caught running naked in Chico. Stevens said later he felt that his clothes were huge and slipping off, and he ran to get help. In just 6 months, Stevens' life has already dramatically changed. Home is now Harmony House in central Chico, created by Chico Housing Action Team, known for its winter emergency homeless shelter safe space. All right, it's my real pleasure to have all of the principals in a wonderful story that published May 24th in the Chico Enterprise Record, written by Asia Sharaga. And it's titled Finding Harmony, Formerly Homeless Man's Life Transformed by Mental Health Care. And we have in the pre-production studio here, we actually have Tyler Stevens, who the article was written about. And we have Lisa Courier from Crisis Care Advocacy and Triage. And we have Asia, who actually had penned and covered and researched the piece. So I'm going to start with you, Tyler. You know, welcome to KZFR, Tyler Stevens.
Thank you.
So, Tyler, how happy are you to be living at the Harmony House, the Chat Harmony House?
Oh, I'm extremely happy. The possibilities of life are just exceptionally well there. And everything's going good with that.
What do you like the most about it?
I like the living there, and I like gardening, and I like the freedom of speech, including the right to, like, live and stuff.
That's pretty important, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
What's a typical day look like for you, Tyler?
Typical day looks like, for me, like, I just wake up and realize that the day of life ahead of me is really nice, and I like to enjoy the things in life.
What are some of the things you like to do? I think we talked at lunch yesterday how you like to do video games, right?
Yeah, I like to play video games, and I like to exercise my freedom of speech, so that's why I'm here today.
Yeah, thank you for that, Tyler.
Yeah.
Hey, and you'd mentioned, but I understand you're working at Kenfield Gardens. How's that been going for you?
Oh, going there at the garden seems very enjoyable to me. I like to portray myself as a gardener sometimes and help out.
Portray yourself as a gardener.
Yeah.
If you're gardener, if you're moving dirt, that's a gardener.
That is a
gardener. Were you doing that?
Yeah.
And you're a gardener, Ty.
Thank you.
Yeah. I know Tammy's really happy to have you over there.
Yeah.
You've got a dream job, as I understand it. What is that?
I do. I have a dream job as an architect. Just the way things are structured makes me just extremely happy.
What kind of architect? I mean, you got certain things that you gravitate towards? High buildings, housing, businesses?
Oh, probably high businesses.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you see yourself doing to get prepared for that?
I see myself trying to go to college and trying to be able to go to college, as well as the researching. Mm-hmm. It goes well.
Well, thanks a lot, Ty.
Thank you.
Wonderful discussing your wants and wishes for life, Tyler. Lisa Currier, you got any questions for Tyler? Any comments?
Hey, Ty. You know, one thing that you didn't mention is all the things that you have the freedom to do. So now you have the freedom to take care of your basic everyday needs, right?
Yeah.
So when he was asking you a little bit about what do you do all day, so you get up, you water your garden. What else do you do? You do your own laundry. I mean, what are some of the things that you do on a daily basis that you were unable to do before?
To answer your question, I would do my laundry, and I do the dishes. And I do enjoy doing them.
Do you cook?
I help out.
So yesterday, what did you pick out of the garden yesterday?
Oh, I picked out a squash yesterday.
Who grew and watered that squash?
I did.
That's right.
Yeah.
Your very first fruit that you picked out of the garden, and you cooked it for yourself.
Yeah.
See? That's why you should be so proud. It's pretty awesome.
So Lisa Currier, you know, welcome to the studio. Lisa Currier is actually the founder of Crisis Care Advocacy and Triage, and she's done a lot of wonderful outreach work with Ty. So welcome to the studio. Maybe explain a little bit about advocacy and triage and how it's helped Ty.
What we do, triage and advocacy, is we want to create a baseline functioning for folks. So what we want to do is we want to intervene at not the most critical time of their life, but possibly before that. But for Tyler, it was a critical point of his life because he was, you know, getting into all kinds of things that maybe he shouldn't have. And so when we found Tyler and was hooked up with his Aunt Tammy and his Grandma Julie and everybody in Siena, you know, we thought it was a perfect opportunity to get Tyler off the streets and figure out what's going on through behavioral health. So,
what do you think about all that, Tyler? I know when we had lunch yesterday, I had remarked, and as I did today, how happy and how calm and how peaceful you are.
Yeah, I feel calm and more happy, you know, and it makes me cope with life, you know, better in that way.
How does it feel to get up and be able to be in a bed when you wake up?
Oh, it feels spectacular.
Not only Tyler doesn't feel the need to run out of the house to go do anything crazy, he doesn't feel the need. He has really full support. So he sees his grandparents every day. He sees Aunt Tammy. He sees me. He has housemates. So the beautiful thing about it now is that he's not striving and looking for something that he doesn't possess. He has that calmness within himself because now he finally has full support of the people who love him dearly and want to see him successful. A little job to keep him busy during, you know, that'll give him some more friends and some extra income, that kind of thing.
So, you know, it's a nice time to introduce Asia Sharaga. She's actually the Enterprise Record reporter that covered this story. And welcome to KCFR, Asia.
Thank you. Thanks so much. I wanted to share that I actually thought about doing a story about somebody before I knew Tyler. Because mental health issues are so prevalent, and I think a lot of people don't realize that there's about 1 in 4 or 1 in 5 people who are experiencing some sort of mental health crisis or issue like anxiety, depression, schizophrenia. And so I had learned this, I think, even a year ago, and I had just seen a lot that had been happening lately with the homeless population, and I wanted to make sure that people understood. I wanted to find somebody in our community who was going through that and do it in a safe manner, you know, where both of us could be safe. So I had met Lisa through doing some other stories and Siena, and I reached out to both of them, and they got me connected with Tyler. And it was such a wonderful experience to be able to meet him and hear his incredible story about everything that he's been through.
Yeah, because I actually wanted to share, because you had just a wonderful Twitter. You had sent me a Twitter that said, Tyler has an incredible story, and I hope he knows how brave he is for sharing it. It's one of my favorite stories since I've been here. I feel incredibly thankful. Think hearing that, Tyler.
Oh, I think that it's an amazing thing just to do that, to understand what people are going through, as well as introduce the idea of understanding.
So, Asia, you know, that was a great lead-in for this question because, you know, what did you learn about the behavioral health system covering this essay?
Well, I can't say that I spoke specifically with anybody from behavioral health or the behavioral health system about Tyler's case. What I can say as far as, you know, what I experienced just talking about what Tyler had been through and what I've learned just asking my own questions of behavioral health professionals as well as even professionals at Enloe Medical Center is that physicians are just very short-handed here. Like there's a lack of people who can provide not only mental health care, like psychiatrists, but people who are providing even just family practice care. And there's a lot of different reasons. I'm still in the process of talking to a lot of different healthcare professionals about that. But that's how you get into situations like this where you have people like Tyler who are on the streets who want to get help, who know either because of their family members who are telling them, hey, there's help out there for you. Let's get you that help. They know that they want to get help. But it's so difficult because when I was talking to Sienna, she said sometimes Tyler's appointments were 3 weeks apart. And sometimes, I mean, I was calling around the other day and learning that some places have 6-month wait lists. I mean, it's insane. And I don't think that they don't want to provide the care. I think that there's just a shortage. And how do we address that? I don't know.
He has absolutely no ability to do this on his own. He needs someone to help navigate the system. And what would you add to that? Because I know you've been doing a lot of that navigation, you and Sienna and Tammy. And
so that's why we started. That's one of the main reasons for crisis care advocacy and triage. The immediate need on some of these folks is immediate need. And so there is no immediate need. You have to be in severe mental crisis to walk up to the crisis center. There is a process, and Asia's right. There is, you know, you have to go for your interview, and then you have to go for your intake, and then you have to wait to see a physician or the worker, right? So in the meantime, what we're trying to do as far as crisis care, triage, and advocacy is help you sit with you, make sure all the resources are known to you, and help you get to those appointments. Not only do we take them to their behavioral health appointment, we take them to their EDD appointments, we take them to their GA appointments, their welfare appointments, their social security appointments, their doctor's appointments, and to their court. So that's another whole thing is, you know, in Tyler's case and a few other cases that, you know, I can't really say, but my company, there's a few of us that are taking people actual to their court cases, writing letters to the court. We don't want to continue that revolving door of in and out and in and out, right? Mm-hmm. So what we're trying to do is ease their pain. Ease their pain is housing first, looking at their psychosis, you know, after that, and then looking at if they have addiction problems after that.
So Tyler, what would you say to that? You know, getting all that help and how much it's meant to you.
Yeah, the thing is, it would be a much appreciated that the help is granted, because what is granted is opportunity to achieve, and that's what I'm trying to do here.
You know, we heard that wonderful piece by Sienna just getting glasses for the first time, and you know that she had discovered that you were legally blind, and she got you glasses. How beautiful it was to be able to actually look at people and see them clearly.
It was good. Yeah, real good.
So, Asia, what were some of your big takeaways from this essay?
Well, I actually wanted to add even something to what Lisa was saying earlier. So I think that there is a disconnect. You know, even in Tyler's case, people who are closest to him and care very deeply about him didn't understand the full scope of what he was going through. I mean, how could they? Tyler didn't. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Tyler, but you told me you didn't even know that what you were experiencing wasn't normal. And so I think that, you know, when it comes to getting care, people just say, oh, why don't they get help? Well, it's not that simple. Not in my perspective, not from what I have seen in my reporting.
Me neither.
It's not that simple. You know, Tyler is just one of those people who is so fortunate, and maybe it's because of who he is, to have people in his life still that we're still advocating for him and working hard to help him get care, because it is difficult for people. So I just wanted to add that, you know, it's not as simple as, oh, there's these resources, why aren't people taking care of it on their own? Sometimes people really need that support system. I would say almost 100% of the time people need it. Because a lot of the time people don't, when you're going through mental health issues, you lose your self-worth. And if you lose your self-worth, I mean, what's the point in trying to get better at some point? I mean, for some people.
The beautiful thing about what we're doing out on the street is we don't have any limitations. We don't say, okay, we can see you for 2 months and then walk away from you. We have the ability to be able to follow you through to your court. We have the ability to follow through to take you to all of your appointments and that kind of thing. So that's where we're trying to, get 10 teams of two, you know, out there on the street to be able to handle that. Let's eliminate some of the pressure on behavioral health and the police department by making sure we can walk through the process with these folks and make more Tyler success stories. These don't have to be detrimental stories. There are so many people out there that really want the help that just can't have it.
So I actually wanted to add a little bit to what Asia had said, because a lot of the context around what you had said wasn't even including being homeless.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like dealing with, you know, mental health issues while you're housed, but throw in the fact that you're living on the street and the dynamics and the pain and violence around that. It's beyond impossible. I mean, what would you say to that, Tyler, you're experiencing living on the street?
Well, my experience was very detrimental, and it was very struggling. I very struggle in the operations of living on the street.
Alrighty, Tyler and Lisa, for all that. Folks who's joining, we are talking with Tyler Stevens, Lisa Currier from Crisis Care Advocacy and Triage, and Asia Chiraga of the Enterprise Record. So I'll bring it back to you, Asia, and ask you if you have anything to add to takeaways that you had from this piece.
You know, for me as a reporter, not just personally, obviously personally, it's my goal to always have takeaways from a story to you know, learn things myself. But part of the reason why I wanted to do this story was to help our community understand what's happening for people. I'm not trying to take away from Tyler's personal experience, but I think, because he's been through so much, but I think there are probably so many other people going through similar situations to what Tyler's going through that are also on the streets. I mean, we just had the homeless point in time count that surveyed homeless people throughout Butte County. And the statistic, I can't remember it off the top of my head right now, but the statistics of how many of them identified that they were struggling with severe mental health issues was very high. That's an issue that our community needs to pay attention to. Obviously, people like Lisa and Sienna and you and folks at the Jesus Center and the Torah Shelter are paying attention to it. And there's a lot of community desire to help. And I think that that's a good thing. So, you know, those are just some of my takeaways from it. I don't know what the solution is. I often don't as a reporter. My solution and my job is to let people know what's going on, and I will always strive to share stories like Tyler's story.
Any closing comments, Lisa?
Asia's right, and you're right, Bill, that we need to start educating how can the community wrap around and help. So on June 15th, on a Thursday night from 6 to 9, we have a Memphis Model CIT educator coming to say to the community, what can we do as a family to help those once we see something's going in crisis? We also have the president of NAMI to talk about the resources and education that we can do, and we're going to speak to what are the solutions for the community. This is community-based. We want your input. We want to see your emails. We want to know what you want to know as a community in order to help benefit the people like Tyler to be successful.
Tyler, where do you see yourself in 3 years?
I see myself in 3 years probably riding a water slide.
Riding a water slide.
Yeah. That's where I see myself in 3 years.
Any closing comments, Ty?
No.
It's nice to see you. It's nice to see you looking so well. I know everyone in the room shares that thought. Alrighty then. Thanks for joining us on KZFR 90.1 FM.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you.
Thanks
everyone for that segment. Without a Roof, made possible by generous contributions to KZFR supporters and by Digital Path, providing high-speed internet and telephone for homes and businesses throughout the North State. Specializing in rural and hard-to-reach areas, Digital Path is your locally owned option for internet with upgraded service plans and expanded coverage areas. Visit digitalpath.net or call toll-free 1-800-676-PATH for more information. Anyway, signing out, Guillermo Mash. Thanks for joining the Without a Roof radio program. Huge shout-out to Asia of the Enterprise Record and everyone else that contributed to that piece and contributed to getting Ty where he's at, man. 3 years, Ty. We're going to be on a water slide together, man. Turning it over here to Jeannie Trezino, Non-Human Radio. Guillermo Mash here, host of the Without a Roof radio program, which kicks off a trifecta of KZFR Wednesday public affairs programming, airing from 5 to 5:30.
Each week we explore poverty, the worst form of violence, focusing on human beings without a roof. Thanks for listening, and if you have a roof, be grateful. Non-Human Radio, hosted by Jeannie Trezino, talks all things animal rights, bringing you the latest news and interviews with local activists.
plus book, film, and restaurant reviews and deep discussions of the benefits of veganism.
For humans and non-humans alike, Wednesdays from 5:30 till 6 p.m. The Real Issue, hosted by Sue Hildebrand, digs into topics ranging from elections to environmental protection.
From social justice to economic justice, from the local to the global.
We cover the political part of everything. Wednesdays from 6